Okay, great. It's two down, 25 to go. Just how far is it appropriate to go with your partner, boyfriend, girlfriend? And does this change when you become engaged? Well, I think we've answered that. Wouldn't you say? How do we explain our position concerning premarital sex to a non-Christadelphian? Well, you just use your Bible. That's what you do. You know, the first time he makes a heavy play for you, you just say, hang on, cool down. And then, of course, it's right there. You always have your little pocket Bible with you. Just check it out like that, and you'll just find that Corinthians passage, wouldn't you? Remember what it was? Corinthians 6, verse 9. Get it into your brain. Not a problem. There's a whole lot else, you know. Exodus 20, verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. I mean, how many times does God have to tell us? You know, I mean, you can just pick a book, really. Just pick a book. 66 books. Pick a book, you'll find in every book. Alright, 66 times God is saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. I made you, I know what's good for you, don't do it. But we say, ha ha, you know, every man must do that which is right in his own eyes. And of course that's what happened to Israel, huh? What's the Christadelphian standpoint on the pill after marriage? Well, I would suggest to you that contraception in marriage is a personal thing. It's a very personal thing. Some people believe that if it's God's will, the child will be born, and most of the people that I know that take that kind of line do practice a form of contraception. Namely, they'd have the Billings method. What are the other methods? The rhythm method. There's a whole bunch of different methods that they use which are natural contraceptive methods. And then there are people that take the pill. Then there are people that use condoms. There are a whole different variety of contraceptive aids, so to speak. It's a personal thing. It's something between a husband and a wife. And I would think that for us as brethren and sisters to legislate there would be to make a legislation where we do not have the right to legislate. If a person really believes that he shouldn't have, or if a couple really believe that they shouldn't have contraception or use contraception, then it's right for them. But because they make that decision in their relationship, doesn't mean that they have the right to impose it on our relationship. Alright? And if we practice contraception, doesn't mean to say that we have the right to impose it on you. What we do have the right to do is to discuss it from Scripture. We do have the right to do that and to reason from a scriptural standpoint. Other than that, I think I'll leave that. It can get a little on the knotty side. How do you handle long-distance relationships in the truth? With difficulty, I would say. You need to do a lot of praying, perhaps writing, maybe attend Bible school as often as possible so you'll see that person again. I don't know. But I should imagine you handle a long-distance relationship with difficulty. What do you do when a Christadelphian you seriously care about treats you the same as a Christadelphian in relationship to sex, or a non-Christadelphian in sex? Okay, this is a two-way thing. This is what I call a two-edged sword. There are girls here that find that the Christadelphian guys, come on too heavy with them. Alright? And then there are guys over here who are trying to keep themselves holy, and they find that the Christadelphian girls are sometimes coming on too strong with them. It's a two-way thing. I would say that it depends on your makeup as a person. Some people are reserved, some people come on strong, some people do this, some people do that. All I'm saying is that whoever wrote this question, it's a two-sided affair. A lot of the guys have said, look, we are trying to keep ourselves holy, and the girls come on strong to us. And then there are some girls that are saying, we are trying to keep ourselves holy, and the guys are coming on too strong to us. I'm going to stay out of that war. Okay? I'm just passing through. So, I would say that on either side, whether you're the girl that's trying to be holy and the guy's coming on too strong, or vice versa, one has to try and help that person see sex from God's point of view. Okay? And that's the safest way to deal with that problem. How do we handle a situation such as when you're dating a Christadelphian boy and he scoops somebody else at another Bible school? Well, I'd say that's fair game. Yeah? I don't have any problem. All is fair in love and war. You know, Well, what if you see a person for more than a couple of years and really care about them, and they are not ready for marriage, they're too young, but you feel that closeness? Can you sleep with them? Well, that's the answer is no, from what we've been discussing from Scripture. If you sleep with somebody before you're married, do you consider yourself to be married? Let's have that from you guys. What do you think? Ah, we'll learn something this week. That's great. That's great. Is it the act of having sex that God sees as the wedding ceremony? If so, is it wrong to have sex with your future husband or wife before the wedding? If that's the only person? Well, that's the same question, and of course the answer is no again. Sorry guys, I mean I'd love to say yes for you, you know, but that comes first, huh? That comes first. Do you think that a married couple should use birth control, or should they trust in God's judgment about when they should have children? Again, maybe I can open that out a little bit for you. There's no contraception in the Bible. Huh? You remember that Onan was cut off because he let his seed spill to the ground. So you've got one argument on that side. There's an argument against contraception on the one side, because there's nothing about contraception in the Bible. In fact, if you take out a Young's Concordance or a Strong's Concordance and you look under C for contraception, you will not find it in the Bible. All right? But there are principles involved in terms of contraception. That if it's God's will, it would happen. And that there's all those psalms which talk about the quiver, and blessed is the man whose quiver is full of arrows, and the arrows are referring to children. That's the one side. But one needs to balance the books on the other side, and that is the spirit of love. And the spirit of love on the other side is that if I love my wife, I don't want her to be continuously pregnant for the next 15 to 20 years, because that's how long she's going to be pregnant for. And if you're going to take a standpoint on contraception, then at least be constant about it. That's an important thing. Quite a lot of people that start off with a very strong standpoint on contraception, after they've had 6 or 8 or 10 children, usually finally decide, look, it's enough now. And they hang up their boxing gloves. Are you with me? So one needs to be careful as to balancing the books, because on the one side, you've got the issue of love, that if I want my wife to be spiritually filled and to take her proper place in the meeting, if she's continuously pregnant over 20 years, she doesn't listen to too many meetings, because she's always looking after kids, and kids take quite a lot out of you. So there are two sides that you need to look at. And whatever you decide for you is good for you. But it's not something that we can legislate and make a rule about in the truth. How far is too far before marriage? Well, I think we've done that, huh? How far is too far? I'd say somewhere in the middle is too far. How do you approach someone in the world about the truth without scaring them away? Well, maybe you just use a small Bible first. All right? I'm sure that this big Bible will scare them away. All right, so you must get one of those little pocket guys and just let it be seen from time to time. Okay? I understand, because people in the world, you know, they do get scared. And you'll often find that when I first became a convert, I had a very difficult situation. I was working in a studio, and I was a typical kind of artist, a little bit off-center, long hair, smoking dope, all that kind of stuff, you know. And I had a foul mouth, and I used to listen to Frank Zappa and all that kind of rubbish. Do you still have Frank Zappa around you? No? Yeah. I used to he makes good music, but his words are grim. Bad. Terrible. But anyway, just getting that. But you understand now, I went through a conversion process, and the people in the studio, they saw that, you know, I was starting to dress decently, I started cutting my hair, started speaking properly. And the easiest way I found was just to keep a Bible on my desk. And they would come in and tell me a dirty joke, right in the middle of a dirty joke, and they'd see the Bible, and they'd all of a sudden, you know, kind of feel all funny and they kind of walk away. And it's almost like, you know, they, you know, and it's amazing. I'm telling you, this little altar, it works miracles. It does. It really works miracles. So if you're too scared to speak, just put your little altar out and you'll find that things will go along pretty soon. And then say, do you actually read this? Do you read this thing? You know? Yeah, well, I actually do. And, you know, and try and get them into your ballpark. Are you with me? If you can get them into a little scriptural discussion and just slowly, slowly, then that's the way it should work. Why is it such a sin, sex, especially if you love somebody? Well, because God says so. God says it's a sin. And that's it. Simple. And you can choose any book 66 times. In fact, more than 66 times. Just pick a book, any book. What is your opinion about French kissing? Great. I don't need to answer any more of that. Yeah, no, I think it's great. I go for it in a big way. But just watch it, eh, guys? I got a license. You haven't. All right, so that makes a bit of a difference. This AIDS thing, I don't know how this AIDS thing is working out in the States here, but is there any kind of evidence at this point in time that one can contract AIDS through saliva? No? So you're still on kind of safe ground there, are you? Yeah. Huh? A gallon of saliva. Oh, well, that's great. Thomas reckons it takes a gallon of saliva. So if you're under the gallon, I reckon you're still on reasonably safe ground, huh? Now look, there's some brethren and sisters that would say, look, that the only way to run a relationship is to I'll demonstrate, yeah. Right? This is about as close as you get. All right. Well, that's great, but it's unrealistic, isn't it? Totally unrealistic. Did you get that on film, Brother Bob? Shall I do it again? I'll give you a proper demonstration this time. All right. Explain the putting away of wives after marriage. Well, what does putting away mean? Divorce. So whoever wrote that question, you got an answer. Do you think that God chooses your wife? What do you think? You think God chooses your wife? Are you nodding at the back there, or are you just falling asleep? Both. Yeah, it's like the guy that kept on hitting his head against the wall, and I said, why are you doing that? He says, it's so nice when I stop. Woke somebody up. All right, do you think that God chooses your wife? Well, it depends on how spiritual you are, I would suggest. If you are a spiritual person, and that you believe that all things happen for good to those that love God and fear Him and are called according to purpose, to His purpose. And again in Ephesians, that we are predestinated in Christ Jesus from before the foundation of the world. If your mind is elevated to its proper place in Scripture, then the answer is yes, God does choose your wife. Simply because we come into the plan and purpose of God. But of course in Ecclesiastes, time and chance happeneth to all those that dwell under the sun, under the S-U-N. Because they're not spiritually minded enough. But once you are spiritually minded, then of course there's only no time and chance. No time and chance at all for those that dwell under the S-O-N, under Jesus Christ, because we are predestinated in Christ Jesus from before the foundation of the world. So I'm very happy that God chose my wife. In fact, when we sat down, after she was baptized, I sat down and I said, now, look, you know, we'd met 10 years previously, and now all of a sudden we'd met by accident. We spoke about that, this little bump in the back of the car. And after she got baptized, we sat down and we said, now look, maybe God's trying to tell us something here. We both baptized. We both have espoused ourselves to the same covenant. We both are designers. We both kind of fancy each other. Maybe God's trying to tell us that we should get married. And she said, I was just pushing a little bit, you see. And then finally, she got the message. The seeds were sown, and up came the flowers and everything, and there you are, happily married. and cruising and loving every minute of it. So that's what I believe. I believe that God chooses your wife. So for all of you here, if you are a believer, if you believe that God has control of your life, then somewhere in this world, there's somebody walking around just for you. So don't panic about it. But got to make yourself available, huh? I mean, you can't put yourself in a cloister, go and cloister yourself up in a little place and then hope that somebody's going to come and find you. You've got to just be your normal self and be seen. What reasons can you give for a person of the world for going in God's way when they don't really understand the Bible and are only acting on what they feel? Well, how would you answer that question? You want to live forever? Yeah, that's a good one. It's a good starting point, huh? But we need to talk about living forever, not in this world. I say to my mother, you want to live forever? And she says, if this is what the world's got to offer and I'm going to live forever in this world, she says, the answer is no, I don't want to live in this world. The pollution and rape and murder and napalm and you name it. But we've got to talk about the new world. You want to live together in a new world where you can be friends with animals and you've got lions and things walking around you and there's absolutely just no animosity. And then the answer is yes, we do want to live together, we do want to live forever. So first of all, one has to try and generate an interest in the truth. And of course, if you don't know anything about the truth, if you don't have a vision of the kingdom of God, you know nothing about Jesus, you know nothing about the Bible, well, then you're just going to be an empty vessel. And of course, you're not going to have anything to offer. But if you're filling yourself up with the Word of God, and it emanates through your being, through your character, through you as a person, without the conversation of the wives, says Paul, men are converted. And so just being what you are and having a standpoint and having a good boundary of your behavior as far as Christ is concerned, it won't take long before he starts asking questions and wanting to know why you are different. But of course, if you're behaving like girls in the world, then he's not going to see the difference and he's not going to ask, is he? This is the last question, I think. Okay. And we're well on time. Oh, no, that's it. We've done that one. Dana. Done it. Last one. Gone. Any other questions before we run away? Could I ask you to close in prayer for us?
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, once more we come before thee in prayer, thankful for this time that we've had to spend around thy word and with one another. We thank thee for the classes that we've had this week, for the instruction that we have gained from them. We pray that these words may dwell in our hearts, that we may do what is right in thy sight. First to our brethren and sisters, and to those who are outside as well. Help us to be examples of thee and thy Son in this life, that we may give glory to thee now, that we may have part of thy kingdom and your glory to thee through eternity. This is our hope and our prayer. May I say blessing upon us to its end. We pray Jesus' saving name.
Amen. Amen. I'd like to trouble all you beautiful people for a little photograph outside by the steps, so that I can take you all home with me.